Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch, and my next guest has been coaching for decades. Now, I have done some coaching over the last decade, and I'm really excited to talk to him about the book that he's written to help coaches coach beyond the skills and drills, the keys to successfully coaching youth sports. Author Bill Bomarito joining us now. Good morning.
Megan, thank you so much for having me. This is great to be here.
I know we talked before we even did this interview today about the passion that we both have for coaching. Tell me about your coaching journey, first off.
Well, try to make a long story long. I at the age of 16, I knew I wanted to teach and coach. I had two wonderful coaches right here in St. Louis at St. John Vianney High School, Don Heeb and Jim Farrell. I played football and hockey, and I had them in football. And I just watched what they did. I watched how they interacted with all my classmates. I watched how they treated us, what kind of success we had, et cetera, et cetera. And I knew at 16 that's what I wanted to do. So I ended up going to the University of Dayton. I played 4 years of hockey there, but I got my degree in business and education and came out of college teaching and coaching in a couple high schools in Ohio.
And I think for all of us, you know, it's great, I think, that you mentioned the good coaching experiences, because I think for a lot of us, while we've had some good coaches, sometimes what sticks in our mind as coaches is maybe the bad coaching experiences that we've had.
Well, unfortunately, that's the case. And I tell people all the time, this particular subject touches everyone. They either have a good experience to share, or unfortunately a bad experience to share, or they have they've got a brother-in-law that did this, or a cousin or niece or nephew or child themselves, that type of deal. So it touches everybody. And I was blessed to have two coaches, and I went to school, the high school, in the early 70s. So that was a, you know, kick butt and take names type of coaching time of life. But we didn't have that. It was very different than what the rest of the world was experiencing. And it just jumped out at me and said, hey, this is pretty cool.
Well, one of the lines in your book in the introduction says, winning must not be the number one objective of a youth coach. Teaching is your first and foremost objective. I think a lot of people would say, well, why play sports if you don't want to win?
Well, it's not a matter of I don't want to win. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to win. I get it. I understand it. But at this level, what I have to do is to define the levels. I'm talking kindergarten to eighth grade, maybe 10th grade on the high side. But starting varsity, high school, college, and pros, and I think we're naive if we think differently, people can lose their jobs if they don't win enough. Mm-hmm. But that's varsity on up. But at this level, even though winning always is there, it's really not what we're doing. What we're trying to do is to teach these kids every time we have them in that particular opportunity to teach them something about the sport. Now, if you're a good teacher and your kids are picking up on what you're talking about and you win as a result of creating this wonderful program for these kids, so be it. I have no problem with that. I'm not about, oh, winning's a bad thing. Winning's not a bad thing. Everybody has to win. We have to win in our lives. We have to win in our businesses. We have to win at home. I get it. I understand it. But our focus, what the book tries to do, is to take the focus off the scoreboard and to put the focus on education. How do we effectively educate these kids, make it enjoyable so they keep coming back year after year?
In your book, you call it a process.
Yes.
And it looks like a lot of it for a coach should not start the day that you take the field or the ice, but well before that. Tell me about what it takes to really be prepared to be with kids.
Well, the way I set the book up, Megan, is preseason, in season and postseason. I believe there has to be a tremendous amount of time and effort put into the preseason. Who are you as a coach? What are your philosophy, goals, expectations? How are you going to effectively communicate your philosophy, goals, expectations to your kids and more importantly, to the parents of those kids? How are you going to prepare for your season? How are you going to set up practices? How are you going to just effectively communicate with the families, which sometimes is difficult for coaches to do? So I set it up in such a way that I believe there are many, many things that have to occur before a coach ever gets on the field or on the ice or on the court or on the wrestling mat or whatever it might be, track, whatever they might be coaching. All these things have to take place before you ever step out there. Then in season, how do you effectively prepare practices? How do you effectively go through the season? How do you continue to set expectations as the season moves on? And then at the end, quite honestly, Megan, what happens, I have postseason. I believe probably over 95% of our coaches never take the time to assess their own performance. How was it? I mean, was this a good experience? Did I do things well? What things can I do differently and more effectively next year to make for better experiences for the kids and their families?
You know, I had a benefit. You mentioned that, kind of that exit interview. I had the benefit of an organization the year that I was a head coach that did a post-season survey with all the parents, looking at a number of things, but including the coaching. And that, to me, was very valuable. The feedback the thoughtful feedback that parents gave about how practices were structured, about, you know, the tone on the team and things of that nature. I learned a lot from hearing how parents felt about the experience for their kids.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, that does not happen very often because people are busy. They finish the season, they turn in the equipment, they turn in their rosters or whatever, and they move on to the next activity. But I think whomever you are working with at the time, that is a great technique because it circles back to the coaches and they can see that, oh, I need to brush up on this. I need to do a little better job in this area, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. We're talking with Bill Bomarito. He's president of Coaching Coaches. He's got a new book, Beyond the Skills and Drills, The Keys to Successfully Coaching Youth Sports. I want to hone in on one area that you look at, yelling versus teaching. I think so many times as coaches, we think calling out those instructions from the bench or from the sidelines is what the kids need. You know, tell us how that's not necessarily the most effective way to teach a kid a sport.
Well, I don't think it is. And let me tell you why. It's, first of all, it becomes white noise at some point. I question how all the instructions that we might be, and when I say yelling, and let me back off because people say right away, well, I don't yell, I'm just telling them what to do, that kind of deal. I get it. I know it's not mean yelling. There's a difference between mean yelling and maybe yelling instructions, you know, pass it here, do this, get you know, pick up the guy in the middle, whatever it might be. It becomes white noise at some point, and it's not an effective teaching tool. We don't have teachers in the classroom who are constantly raising their voice, yelling instructions to the kids. I mean, if you did, I think at some point
you'd get fired.
Yeah, well, you would knock on the door of the principal and say, we need to have a meeting, you know, because it's constant yelling. So we would never expect that in a classroom. And I treat the field, the court, the ice, whatever you might be coaching, as your classroom. It's about education. And how do you effectively educate? And that's the difference I'm trying to shout out in this book, yell out in this book, if you will, and that is think of yourself as a teacher first, a coach second. We come in with the thought of a coach as a kind of a tough guy, and you know, I walked 5 miles to school uphill, and I walked home 5 miles uphill, you know, that kind of deal, in 18 inches of snow, all that kind of deal. That thinking is going away. And so the thought is, how do we keep these kids involved? How do we keep these families involved? And I think if you, because of the preseason program that I set up and so forth, and because I get you to think about what your real responsibility is here, I think we can set up situations where kids have better experiences and they keep coming out year after year. Because when it's all said and done, coming out and being a part of a program is far better than walking the streets someplace somewhat aimlessly.
I think what's so hard for adults when we start coaching is, for most of us, it's been some years between the time that we were a player and we learned these skills to when then we are coaching, for many of us, our own kids, you know, as our next experience.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's what's so hard to step back and think, okay, how do I break down, for example, the mechanics of what we're doing or the systems that we want to put in place? How do you teach coaches to do that?
Well, I think it starts with you as hopefully the head coach. You have sat down, you've looked at my preseason objectives, what I think we need to do. And Megan, I think there's great value in having a practice or two with just the coaches. With this thought that you bring your assistant coaches in, because a lot of people, first of all, they won't step forward. They don't want to be a head coach. They're too busy. Life's going too fast, those kinds of things. And I get it. I understand. Or they're not comfortable in the arena of sports. They may be more comfortable being on the school board. And that's great. That's wonderful. But I think we as head coaches can be more effective if we can pull in some more coaches. And then we coach the coach as a head coach. Here are the five or six drills that we're going to do, and this is what we're trying to get across in each drill. So they're almost cross-trained. They get an idea that builds their confidence, so when the kids come out, we don't have a coach that's kind of guessing as to what they're doing. And I think that's why I thank coaches constantly for coaching, because at least from my perspective, I ask a lot of them, because I think of them as teachers, and teaching is tough. We expect our teachers to go to school anywhere from 4 to 6 years before we ever put them in a classroom. But in a heartbeat, we will turn over 10 or 15 kids to somebody that checks a box or takes a phone call and says, okay, I'll coach. You know, and I get it. I understand. And from an administrative standpoint with these volunteer programs, this is a hard sell. People mm-hmm. listening to this right now will say, boy, that makes a lot of sense. We really should be doing more of those kinds of things. But if you bring it to an administrator, not all administrators by any stretch, because I have accounts that are using the program, that kind of deal. But for a lot of administrators, they view this as, well, that's training, and we need new uniforms, we need new backboards, we need new baseballs, and they want to put their money elsewhere. And I believe those programs tend to have the same problems over and over again. So what I try to do is create change. How do we create change? And it's through education.
How hard is it when you're facing a room of coaches, maybe, that you're trying to get these concepts across to, and you can tell that they're a little resistant to some of these ideas?
When I was doing right now, all my programs are online, and they have been for the last several years. But prior to that, for 10 straight years, I would say 60 to 80, 90 times a year, I was up in front of a live group teaching the program. And I would venture a guess that 75% of the coaches who walked in that room that night did not want to be there. They were kind of irritated that they, you know, I'm already volunteering my time. I'm already doing this. Now I've got to go to this class, that kind of deal. And so what I would do, Megan, is I would walk around and I would introduce myself to as many as I could get to before we started the class. And I can tell you every night there were one, two, or three that they hardly want to say hello, much less tell me, you know, what sport they're coaching and what age the kids are. And of course, I would constantly thank everybody for being there, thank them for coaching. But what would happen is once they started listening, and once they, because we had workbooks for all of them with pens and the whole bit, and once they started listening, I would say the most hardened coach, it would take me about 20 minutes, and all of a sudden I see him or her pick up a pen, they start writing a note, and I would think to myself, I gotcha. It took 20 minutes or so. So the point is, I've had coaches who have been coaching over 30 years who have gone through my class, and they've come out saying, I did not want to be here tonight, but I'll tell you, Bill, I picked up one, two, or three things that I can use going forward. And that's what coaches do. Good coaches steal from each other. You know, but you have to be there. You either have to read a book or you have to be at a session and so forth to pick up these things that maybe you didn't think of. And the bottom line, what's the bottom line all the time? We keep creating the best hours of these kids' weeks because of who we are and how we deliver our program.
I think that's the important bottom line for me, because I think sometimes as a coach, it can be exhausting working with kids. It's absolutely exhausting, but it's rewarding too. And I think sometimes we lose sight of what do those kids want out of their sport? And you go into that in your book as well.
I do. There's a study. It's a little dated, I'll be honest with you, and I write that in the book, but it came out of Michigan State University. And they surveyed 10,000 kids in 11 cities throughout the United States. And the results are pretty staggering as to what the kids are telling us. And they're telling us, even though for you and me maybe, or two other coaches or three other coaches, winning being the most important thing, the kids aren't telling us that. And it's really interesting. The kids, they want to enjoy their friends. They want to enjoy the experience. They're screaming it to us. Yet, we get involved, as you suggested earlier, maybe 20 or 25 years later with our own children, and we kind of remember what we had growing up, where winning was really important. And it's just a different approach. How do we effectively create these situations where these kids say, this is where I want to be, and their parents say, I want my child hanging out with this mom or this dad as a coach because they make it so enjoyable. They're not going to win all the time. You know, life is like that. We just don't win all the time, and we address that as we go through coaching and so forth, which is a great opportunity because life isn't always fair.
So as we wrap up, what would be the bottom line that you would tell coaches and families about your philosophy? Because right now we're entering kind of the summer rec season for a lot of sports, and in some cases we're about to enter the tryout season for fall sports.
Absolutely, and it happens fast, say the least. I think the bottom line is, as a coach, and I'm talking to our coaches out there, and quite honestly also to the parents, what are you really trying to get out of this experience? When you signed your child up, what is it that you really want to get out? I think a lot of times parents sign up their kids because it's sign-up time. So they sign them up without giving a lot of thought to what do they really want to accomplish. And I think sometimes we get coaches, because we're struggling for coaches all the time, who, okay, I'll do it, that kind of thing. But I want to give them the tools for them to be most effective. And the bottom line to all of that is coaching always comes down to who you are and how you deliver your program. That's the key. And what I try to do in this book is to give skills and drills, as the name suggests, to our coaches so they can create the best possible sporting experience for our kids. And that's the bottom line. With this goal in mind, that each child, hopefully next year, will say, I want to go back and be a part of that experience. That's what we do.
Bill, how can organizations and coaches get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me through my website, which is coaching-coaches.com, coaching-coaches.com. That's where you can actually purchase the book as well. We are working with Amazon as we speak to try to get it on Amazon, so that's happening as well. But they can get a hold of me, and I would be more than happy to talk youth sports. I talk it every day. It is a passion for me. I believe that for every coach I positively affect, I think I positively affect 10 or 15 kids and families. And it makes me feel good every night I go to bed that we can make a difference if we together we say, hey, we're going to have a little different approach to this experience.
He's Bill Bomarito, president of Coaching Coaches, the new book, Beyond the Skills and Drills, The Keys to Successfully Coaching Youth Sports. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Megan. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.